So tonight we gather to celebrate the solemnity of the Assumption, and it gives us an opportunity to think about the very rich teachings of the Church on the Blessed Virgin Mary. And something that I am often marveling at is how consistent the teachings of the Church are, and how the different beliefs or dogma that we have regarding Mary all work together so seamlessly. So for instance, one of the things that we believe about Mary is that she was immaculately conceived. So this is what we celebrate on another holy day of obligation, the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we believe that God did worked an amazing miracle in the womb of St. Anne, Mary's mother, that at the moment that Mary was conceived in her mother's womb, she was preserved from original sin. So for her entire life, she was untouched by this sin. So this meant that she didn't suffer the consequences of sin like we do, like you and me. And this means all sorts of things, because what are some of the consequences of sin? Well, if we read the book of Genesis, it's heavy labor during our life and the corruption of our body, and it's bodily death. It's one of the consequences of original sin. Pains in childbirth, it's what the Bible tells us is one of the consequences of sin. So this teaching on Mary's Immaculate Conception, that she was never touched by sin, neither personal sin nor original sin, that leads us into the constant teaching of the Church that Mary was ever virgin, that she was perpetually a virgin. And this means that Mary was a virgin before Jesus' birth, in that Jesus was conceived in Mary, not according to the normal way, but by a miracle, by the Holy Spirit, a virgin birth. We don't just believe that Mary was a virgin before birth, we believe that Mary remained a virgin during birth. So what that means is that Jesus was birthed from her. Mary's bodily integrity was not at all harmed. And so some of the fathers of the Church compared the birth of Jesus from Mary to light passing through glass. Just like light passes through glass without harming the glass, so Jesus' body passed from inside Mary's body to outside Mary's body, also without harming her. And how beautiful is that? And it makes sense, because even though it involves a miracle, Jesus doesn't harm anybody, least of all his mother. So the birth, Jesus' birth, didn't harm Mary or her body in any way. So that's why the Church has always said that Mary was a virgin even during the birth. And then finally, we believe that Mary remained a virgin after the birth of Jesus, that Jesus, or that Mary did not have sons and daughters biologically other than Jesus, and that she and Joseph had a virginal, chaste marriage. So this brings us to what we celebrate today, the Assumption. So if we think about how God did not allow Mary to be corrupted in any way, including her bodily integrity before, during, or after the birth of Jesus, wouldn't it make sense that if God didn't want Mary's body to be corrupted or harmed in any way, that this would include her death as well, and that her body would not experience any corruption in death? And as sinners, we will experience corruption after death. Someday we'll be taken out to the cemetery where our bodies will be corrupt. And that's part of the consequence of sin. But Mary, because she was conceived without sin doesn't suffer those same consequences. And so this is why the church, since ancient times, has taught that when the end of Mary's life came, God assumed her into heaven, body and soul, so that this precious vessel, who within her carried the eternal Son of God, would herself, like him, be in heaven, body and soul. And that's what we await ourselves when we think about Mary's assumption into heaven, body and soul. The truth that Mary at this moment is in heaven, body and soul, that's what we await too. That's, please God, that's going to happen to us as well when we go to heaven. But it won't happen exactly like Mary. Why? Again, because of the consequences of sin. So when you and I die, what's going to happen? We're going to experience the painful separation of our body from our soul. And like we said earlier, our body is going to be taken out to the cemetery. And then our soul goes to God, either immediately or probably, at least in my case, through a purification process that we call purgatory. But that's all because, again, the consequences of sin. At the last judgment, all of our bodies will be reunited with our soul, and then we'll be in heaven, please God, forever with God, body and soul. So Mary already enjoys now what God promises to all of us too at the final judgment. So as we think about Mary, body and soul, already in heaven, we look forward to our destiny too. It teaches us what God has in store for you and me, and how wonderful that's going to be, because to be in heaven means to be in God. So Mary is already completely 100% body and soul in God, and she's alive in God. She's not dead. She is way more alive than me and than you, because she's alive in God. And that has important consequences for us. And this is why today is a day of rejoicing for the whole church, because Mary's in God. This means that her existence is totally in God, which means that she's not in any way limited by space and time like we are. I have trouble listening sometimes to one person who's talking to me, much less more than one person. Sometimes we might think, well, how can Mary listen to me and to Joe and to Lucy, who are all praying to him, to Mary at the same time, or talking to Mary? But Mary's not limited by space and time like we are. Why? Because she's alive in God. So that means she can be perfectly present to me and to you at the same time. A million of us, a billion of us, all speaking to our mother. So today's feast day is a day of rejoicing for us because we have a mother who's in heaven, body and soul, fully alive, and fully in love with God. And because she's in love with God, that means she's in love with all of God's children too, with you and me, whom God gives to her as her own children too. I have a really great mother. I was blessed to be able to celebrate an Assumption Mass with my mom and my dad and my brother and his family last night. And was talking about our mom a little bit and how great she is. But contrary to popular opinion, she's not perfect. And so the wonderful thing is that as great as my mom is, even with her imperfections, we have a perfect mother, actually, who knows us and loves us perfectly, who always has compassion on her struggling children, who sees us with eyes of mercy, who sees us as we struggle and bump along through life. She knows that life isn't easy. She knows that life is full of temptations. And she looks at us with such love and compassion. And just like our earthly mother wants us, wants her children to tell her about the things that they're struggling with. How much more does our perfect mother in heaven want us to share with her the ways that we struggle, so that she can give us the support that we need, the help that we need, the counsel that we need, the example that we need. So what a beautiful day of rejoicing for our whole church today as we celebrate this great truth of our faith that our sinless mother loves us at this moment from heaven where she's fully alive, body and soul. So that gives us all a reminder that Mary loves it when we talk to her. She loves it when we go to her because she always looks with compassion on her struggling children. So we bring her all of our needs today, and we thank God for this wonderful gift that we have in our mother who's fully alive in God in heaven.